day, and welcome to the Playtech Q1 IMS conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Mor Weizer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join us on this call to review Playtech's Q1 2015 performance. I'm Mor Weizer, Chief Executive Officer of Playtech, and with me is Ron Hoffman, our Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over to Ron to take you through some of the financials for the first quarter.
Thank you, Mor, and good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to say that this is once again the best quarter that Playtech has ever delivered, and it is the 15th quarter in a row that we have achieved double-digit revenue growth. Total revenue was 135 million euros, up 31% against the first quarter in 2014 on a reported basis. When excluding acquisitions, Q1 growth over the comparable quarter was 29%, which was augmented by the weakening of the euro at the start of 2015. When adjusting for this effect, underlying revenues, both on a constant currency basis and excluding acquisitions, were up 16%. These figures do not adjust for the impact of the POC tax in the U.K. Adjusting for the POC tax impact, the 16% constant currency growth, excluding acquisitions, increases to 19%, reflecting the strength of the underlying growth of the business over the comparable period. Mobile revenues accounted for 18% of total software revenues, up from 14% a year ago, validating our belief in our mobile strategy, and as presented during our 2014 annual presentations, delivers incremental growth. Regulated revenue accounted for 40% of total revenues, up from 34% in Q1 last year, with regulated revenues within Europe being the majority of total European revenues. You may have noticed that we have taken out the regional split of our revenues from the announcement, but instead have provided the actual regulated proportion in the quarter and its growth from the comparable period. We have done that as we believe this is a better and more relevant indication and presentation of the quality of our top line, which is increasing as we continue to focus on further business wins in regulated markets across Europe and elsewhere, in line with our stated strategy. In the interest of transparency, revenues from Europe represented 54% of total revenues in the quarter. Asia represented 38%, and 8% being all other regions. It is important to emphasize that while we see growth on both regulated and dot-com activities, regulated revenue streams continue to grow faster as more and more jurisdictions become regulated and as dot-com activity in Europe gradually transition into regulated revenue streams. This Q1 2015 performance also compares favorably to Q4 2014, with 7% growth both on a reported basis and excluding acquisitions, which had a negligible impact in the quarter. When looking at growth excluding both acquisitions and on a constant currency basis, Q1 2015 revenues grew by 1% over the previous quarter, or 2% when adjusting for the impact of the U.K. POC tax. It is worth noting that the first quarter in 2015 had two fewer trading days compared to Q4 2014, and so daily average revenues are a more appropriate measure of performance. Daily average revenues in Q1 2015 at constant currency and excluding acquisitions were up 3%, or over 4% if we adjust for the impact of the U.K. POC tax. Turning now to look at the product verticals in more detail. Casino, our largest vertical, grew by 28% on a reported basis against the same quarter in 2014, with good growth across all regions and with increased regulated revenues. This was driven by the combination of both organic growth and new business, and specifically growth in core casino activity, premium content, Playtech's open platform, and with significant growth from mobile casino, which has doubled against the same period in 2014 and now represents almost 13% of total casino activity. Services grew by 27% on a reported basis against the same quarter in 2014, driven by both new business wins, including the newly signed structured agreements, enjoying better penetration of its customer base and positively impacted by the addition of the newly established white label offering. Land-based revenue tripled on a reported basis against the same quarter in 2014, impacted by acquisitions, which included Aristocrat Lotteries, acquired in September 2014, and was also complemented by growth in the core VideoBet activity and IGS. Sports grew by 31% on a reported basis against the same quarter in 2014, driven by continued growth in mobile activity, in particular in the UK with Ladbrokes, Gala Coral, and Paddy Power. This product vertical continues to represent significant potential growth for the group as further business wins are achieved in line with the group's strategy and continued focus. Bingo grew by 27% on a reported basis against the same quarter in 2014, with growth broadly equally split between existing and new business. Mobile penetration in Bingo continues to grow as expected, although still in its infancy, and important to note that Bingo side games, which are recorded under the casino line item, increased in line with the growth in core Bingo activity, also driven by the mobile offering. As expected, poker remains a challenging vertical, with revenue down 17% against the same quarter last year, although already from a very low base, which represents an immaterial impact to the overall revenue performance of the group. Cash and cash equivalent at the end of the quarter were over 700 million euros, following the acquisition of YoYo and prior to the initial payment of 208 million euros related to the TradeFX transaction, which will be paid on completion, expected by the end of next month. Looking at current trading, the strong Q1 performance has continued into Q2, with daily average revenues over the first 25 days of April up over 25% compared to Q2 2014, reflecting an increase of over 10% on a constant currency basis. Finally, from me, TradeFX continues to perform as expected. Key performance indicators continue the trends shown in the first quarter as the business continues to deliver on its strategy, following the deployment of its proprietary technology, strong focus on mobile, and further developing its B2B position. As indicated when we announced the acquisition, we would expect completion by 31st of May. I'll now hand back to Mor.
Many thanks, Ron. Before taking your questions, I'd like to look at some of the operational factors that have contributed to another record quarter. Our strategy is founded upon signing new licenses and providing more products and services to existing licenses. Upon continuing to out-innovate the competition and investing to extend our market leadership, and upon making strategic acquisitions to supplement organic growth, we have made great progress in executing against our strategy so far in 2015. Looking first at our licenses, I was delighted to announce the signing a few weeks ago of Leo Vegas, the innovative mobile casino brand on the Playtech Open Platform, or POP for short. Leo Vegas is set to launch a host of Playtech design games in the coming weeks, while several other significant UK and international operators are in the later stages of finalizing similar agreements. In February, we announced that Ray, Finland's national gaming operator, had signed a 20-year online contract extension, the longest deal in both companies' histories. The extension followed 4 years of highly successful years with Playtech, generating year-on-year double-digit growth. The 20-year agreement includes omni-channel gaming software, content and support across online, mobile, and retail, with an automatic renewal period of 4 years, and underlines Playtech's commitment to regulated markets. We are also now seeing the benefits of the new licensee initiatives from last year coming to fruition, including Ladbrokes, Sky Casino and Live Casino, Caliente, Trinity Mirror, and Gazzetta dello Sport, amongst others, as well as extending our mobile sports application, now being extended to desktop, simplifying and improving player experience. We also made significant progress establishing ourselves across new regulated and soon-to-be-regulated territories.
The impact of the benefits of such contracts, together with an exciting pipeline, gives us confidence in multiple growth engines of growth. Looking now at our products, Playtech continues to invest heavily in R&D to extend its lead over its competitors. Last week, we announced that in the last 18 months, we focused on omnichannel developments, with a bigger portion of our employee base now focused on this area, as a direct result of our success and investment in Playtech One, the gaming industry's leading unique omnichannel technology offering. Playtech is currently concentrating its resources on several significant, soon-to-be-announced, global government and non-government omnichannel contracts. This has meant that a large number of developers, operational, product, IT, and customer support staff specialists are required to ensure their successful delivery. Sports betting will see the cornerstone investment as part of the Playtech One strategic roadmap and is Playtech's fastest growing product vertical. Ahead of a number of deals that will be announced in due course later this year, and in order to strengthen support for existing sports-driven contracts, Playtech Sports has been reorganized with all omnichannel sports capabilities and technology efforts merged into one. This gives customers one complete sports betting and gaming technology offering with full customer visibility across one system, all channels and all devices, and an improved customer journey across the offering. The first quarter also saw the launch of Rainbow Riches Bingo, the first ever bingo variant of the iconic cross-channel brand, as well as unveiling a series of never-before-seen industry-first features within an expanded virtual sports portfolio, including a new, fully simulated football game, allowing for realistic betting and gameplay. Lastly, on product, on Friday, we launched an app for the Apple Watch, which was only launched that day. The app, which was developed in 4 weeks and received approval from Apple's App Store, will allow users to place bets directly from their wrist and will link directly with the customer's main iOS app. Finally, 2015 has seen us make two important acquisitions. Firstly, in February, we announced the bolt-on acquisition of Yo-Yo Games, the home of Game Maker Studio, a mobile-driven cross-platform casual game development technology that enables developers to create games using a single programming code and then publish them to run natively across most common platforms. The entire Game Maker family of products has been used by more than 750,000 developers and downloaded more than 5 million times. Secondly, just after the quarter end, we announced the acquisition of TradeFX, which has now received shareholder approval. I'm also delighted to announce that Playtech has now also obtained an FCA license under which the business will operate. Subject to regulatory approval, the acquisition is expected to complete at the end of May this year. The acquisition of TradeFX increases our diversity, both in terms of verticals and geographies, and improves our quality of earnings, as well as presenting the company with numerous growth opportunities, both organic and through acquisitions. Progress is already being made, identifying numerous acquisition targets, and both companies' teams discuss the integration of TradeFX into the group to ensure we leverage the enlarged group capabilities. Looking forward, the strong start we have made to the year, together with the progress we continue to make in all aspects of the business, both on an organic and inorganic basis, gives me great confidence in Playtech's ability to deliver strong growth in 2015 and beyond. With that, we would be pleased now to take any questions, and so I'll hand over to the operator.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Vaughan Lewis of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Morning. Just following on from your last comments there, Moore, are you still looking at further acquisitions outside trade FX, or is that the main target now for deals there? In terms of the core business, looking at revenue growth, how much of the revenue growth has come from the new white label type contracts? And do these contracts generate a positive EBITDA contribution at the moment, or is it a sort of ramp-up phase over the next few years? And then finally, on contract renewals, with all the new mobile and BIT technology you've got coming through, have you been able to increase the fee at all on any of the contract renewals, or should we still assume some pressure on fees? Thanks.
Okay, good. So I'll answer the first and third questions. Ron will refer to the second. On the target, we are very much focused, as you know, on the TradeFX acquisition. We are happy that we received the shareholders' approval, and we remain very much focused on that. Having said that, we remain very acquisitive and very active, both in the online CFD market as well as gaming, and we definitely pursue additional acquisitions in both spaces. So it's not, I was not just referring to TradeFX, definitely goes beyond that. And also alongside that, as I said, we look at other gaming opportunities that we consider. On the contract renewals, it's not about actually most of the contracts were renewed last year. There are a few that are that will be renewed between now and the end of next year. Given discussions with the with those that we believe we will and confident we will renew the contracts with, I don't foresee us increasing the fees, but maintaining them instead. So I don't think that there will be much change to the existing contracts and the level of fees we charge.
Okay, on the question on the revenue growth coming from the white label offering, I would say around 5 million euros in this quarter were attributed to revenues coming from the white label offering. Now, this comes with a positive EBITDA number, meaning it is complementary to our business and it's not a break-even business. But obviously, with a lower margin to the regular, I would say, software business, simply because of the nature of it. I mean, it's a white label offering, and therefore we record the full top line as if we are the operator, even though we are not. The only thing I would add to that is the fact that we believe this area will continue to grow, not just organically, also from both additional licensees, additional customers who are already in discussions with Playtech today, and we see that as an opportunity to continue to grow that front. As it grows, we believe that the margin will be better, but not yet at the level of Playtech, but I will leave discussions on EBITDA performance to semi-annual and annual performances.
Great, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Simon Davis of Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just following on from the comments on margin on white label, but can you quantify that a bit more? Is this a single-digit margin? And do you think there's scope for that to expand as you build scale?
The answer is no. It's a double-digit number, and that's exactly my point in the last part. I mean, it will be higher than what it is now, given greater scale. But again, I mean, this discussion right now is more, I mean, this IMS is more about the top line and not really about the EBITDA line item. So we'll leave that for another day, I believe.
Yeah. Secondly, 40% of revenues from regulated markets. Can you give us a feel for the pro forma percentage if you incorporated TradeFX into that number?
If we add TradeFX to the mix, actually, there are, I would say the following. If we look at the, I'll talk about the 2014 trade effects number because this is basically the numbers that we are that we have on a fully annual basis. We see this business with basically 100% being a fully regulated business. I mean, there is a difference between how gaming operators are being perceived with respect to regulated, non-regulated splits and how the CFD and Forex businesses are being viewed. We see this business as being fully regulated. Any customer from the jurisdictions that TradeFX are operating in are going through the same process with SISEC and in the future together with the FCA as well. The same KYC processes, fully regulated. They're going through the quarterly audits and surprise audits by the regulators. So we see that as a fully regulated business altogether. And therefore, that will increase our I would say on an annualized basis, it will increase our regulated proportion to 50%. In addition to that, I would comment that if we look on a locally regulated basis, and meaning jurisdictions where there are local regulations, specific local regulations like SISEC or FCA for Europe and South Africa, and Australia and the likes of these types of jurisdictions, and in the future as well as Russia and others. This is right now in 2014, it was 63% for TradeFX, and therefore if we combine the locally regulated proportion and add the fully regulated revenues from Playtech, it would be around 44-45%, I believe 44. But it will be the combination of these two, meaning we will both present the fully regulated aspect, which will be north of 50%, and then the locally regulated percentage, which will be around 44.
Perfect. And lastly, TradeFX has an option to make a bolt-on acquisition. Having had a bit more time to do due diligence, do you expect that acquisition or that option to be exercised, and what kind of value would that acquisition be?
Yeah, the main message that we sent at the time of the TradeFX acquisition remains the same. So far, so good. We are still very excited about the opportunity. We still pursue this opportunity, and there is nothing that came across during the due diligence that led us thinking otherwise.
When do you think that acquisition might happen?
We expect it to happen at the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third.
Great, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from James Wheatcroft of Citi. Please go ahead.
Morning. I just want a little bit more color on last week's press release about employee recruitment. I'm interested in the sort of timing relative to contract wins and the extent of any profit drag. And then secondly, just could you talk about the pipeline of potential contracts, please?
Sorry, again, can you repeat the first one again? You're referring to the announcement that we made on the investment into Omnichannel?
Yeah. And I'm just interested in you're talking about employing 300 more staff, and I'm just interested in the sort of timing of the cost related with that relative to the revenues you might generate from those contract wins you talk about in the release.
Understood. So I would say the following. We don't see that as anything which is changing our financial performance going forward, meaning it's not going to change the consensus or the guidance that we give to the market. It's pretty much, we see that as embedded as part of the growth of the business altogether from both the costs and the revenue side. It's simply highlighting the fact that this is the future. This is where we invest in, on the combination of both the retail, online, web, and mobile. And therefore, we invest heavily into that. And we see that as an offering which is relevant to many of the top customers that we have today. We've seen that with Ray as well, and this is definitely the future for us. And the potential for us is very significant. As we've seen in the past and in any other investment that Playtech did, you initially do the investment and then you start generating the revenues from that, on the back of that. We don't see that as anything that you should change your margin models going forward. I think this is pretty much embedded as part of the cost growth of the business to deliver revenue growth as well.
Very helpful. Thank you. And then just the pipeline of future contracts, can you give us a little bit more color? You talk in that same release about significant government and non-government contracts pending?
Yeah, we can't really comment on that specifically, but definitely there are some exciting opportunities for us that are in, I would say, advanced discussions, and therefore we are quite excited. I referred to that in the analyst presentation around the trade effects acquisition. I was asked about that, and we definitely feel very comfortable and very confident about the very strong pipeline that we have that accelerated since the beginning of the year. A lot of those are omni-channel opportunities, the Playtech One concept that we introduced. The investments made so far gives us, obviously, just reiterates and displays our confidence in the future growth of the company. We have gone through a process as part of which we reorganized internally, so some people left or some people and some others moved between divisions internally. So just to reiterate the fact, there are not going to be an impact on margin, even though we recruited more employees and shifted some internally. And this is ahead of these quite exciting news that we expect later this year. I can't really quantify without maybe just saying I can't really quantify or refer specifically. It's obviously very focused only in regulated markets, and these are quite exciting opportunities for Playtech across all verticals, and definitely some of those include the services as well.
Great, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Richard Carter of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Couple of questions, please. Firstly, I think you're sort of guiding to $600 million of revenue for the year. If you strip out the TradeFX deal, that sort of implies 9% underlying growth. So is there anything I'm missing, or do you expect to lose contracts or something in the second half for the underlying growth rate sort of to be that lower, or are you just being your usual conservative? And then secondly, can you just help us understand a little bit on the cost side? I know the euro is obviously weakening against a lot of currencies. So how much of your costs are actually in sterling, please?
Yeah, hi, Richard. So I would start with, obviously, on the revenue side. You know that we don't give guidance, really, to the market with respect to the top line. Actually, right. What we said is that the number will start with a 6, just to make sure that people are aligned with that number. It doesn't mean that it has to be 600. It will start with a 6. 600, to be honest, I believe it is a conservative number, a very conservative number. Obviously, we're talking about including trade effects. But again, I mean, the projections of the business, I think the run rate of the business is reflecting the performance of Playtech for 2015. I can't comment too much going forward. It's still early in the year. We're still in April, and there's still a long way to go. But we didn't really give guidance on just 600. This is a conservative number for us. On your other point, sterling on our cost side represents approximately 20-25% of the cost basis, basically, in these areas altogether.
So in terms of where we were a couple of months ago, the sterling costs are obviously going to be higher, but your revenue is obviously higher as you translate them into euros.
Yes, our top line is basically a third of our top line is in euros, so everything else is growing. I mean, it's positively affected by the weakening of the euro, so that's 67% approximately. Of the revenues being complemented and augmented by the weakening of the euro. And on the other side, I mean, most of our cost is still in euros or euro-related. Sterlings would be around 20-25%.
And is that mainly those sterling costs, mainly employee costs?
Yes. And most of our costs would be employee costs.
Yeah. Okay. And then just a couple more, please. In terms of Asia, obviously, it's up 51%, and it's 38% of the business. Is there a point, just from a risk perspective, whereby it starts to get too much of the business, given it's unregulated? And then also, could you just remind us of how diversified that 38% is geographically, please, in Asia?
Yes. So with regards to Asia, I will say that, as we indicated before, some of our customers are active there, and these customers are long-term customers of Playtech, so we feel very comfortable with their growth and with the fact that we believe that this situation, this is sustainable going forward. We can't really restrict our customers. They have been doing very, very well. Some of those customers are customers that focus on various Asian markets, but also on other markets, and they grow in both. I think that the main message here is, even though it grew, our regulated portion of the business grew even faster, growing from 34% of the business last year, first quarter of last year, to 40% this year. This mainly happened, as we indicated in the final results presentation. This mainly happened in the second half of last year and the beginning of this year, and we see this accelerating, and we see this trend improving over time. I mean, improving and numbers and portions are improve regulated the regulated proportion improving over time. So while we do expect some growth in Asia, we do expect regulated markets to grow faster. In terms of the diversity, the main contribution is from, we indicated before, we did not, and we can't provide the specific numbers, but we did indicate that the main jurisdiction across Asia is China. As we also indicated before, China is very, very fragmented, divided into different provinces with different local governments, and we definitely see some changes positive ones in some provinces. We see these changes happening across Asia. We definitely expect some regulated Asian revenue and income streams going forward. Not necessarily just in China or in China, but across Asia. We work hard on that. We secured some, and we put a lot of efforts into that. And this will obviously only support the regulated portion becoming even higher.
Okay, and thank you for that, Mor. And just on the mobile 18%, just to clarify, is that 18% of the overall revenue, or is that sort of 18% of the sort of pre-services revenue?
This is 18% of software revenues, so it excludes services and our retail activity and anything which is like some other revenues as well. 18% of total software revenues.
Okay, and then final question. On the Holland Casino, I think there was an expectation that would probably be rolled out in the second half of this year. Could you just tell us where you think you stand on that and what the likely timing is of when Holland Casino could potentially be rolled out?
Holland Casino will be rolled out as soon as regulations will permit that. We are obviously reliant on the regulations coming through. I believe that the conversations we held recently are the first quarter of 2016. Nothing has changed in that respect. And as soon as it will be introduced, we will definitely launch Holland Casino.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Gavin Kelleher of Goodbody Capital Markets.
Morning, guys. Could you just give some color on how the individual regulated markets have performed in Q1? Obviously, UK will be up strongly because of sterling, but could you give us an underlying picture there and maybe how Italy is doing and then some other European regulated markets? And then secondly, just on your BIS capabilities, could you just give an update on how many people are using them at the moment and what the pipeline is like there?
Yeah, hi, Gavin. We don't give out the split of on a country by country basis, so I can't really give you the numbers. But I will say that obviously regulated markets increased significantly. UK would be the biggest contributor to that.
simply because a lot of the new business that was introduced in late 2014, including the migration of Ladbrokes, for example, and others, and Skybet and others, had significant contribution when comparing to the first quarter of 14. So UK is the first one at the top there. But I will say it's a combination of both new business and organic growth across pretty much every regulated market that we have presence in. So we see growth in all of these markets altogether, both organically and with new business. As for the second question on regulated market specific opportunities, I would say that we do not restrict ourselves to any specific jurisdiction. Obviously, a regulated jurisdiction needs to be commercially viable for the company and makes sense for us to invest the resources. We always evaluate the projects and the opportunities in accordance with the return on invested resources, as we call it internally. I would say that we still see a lot of opportunities in the UK. We see opportunities in Italy, Spain. We see opportunities in certain regulated markets across Eastern Europe, Romania, the Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary. Portugal is going to be regulated. The Netherlands, obviously. Latin America, we are very much focused on Mexico, but it goes beyond Mexico these days. And last but not least, Asia. We see some real opportunities in Asia, definitely now that we established ourselves, we intend to complete the TradeFX acquisition by the end of this month. We see opportunities across Asia for this business and the gaming and for gaming going forward.
And sorry, just on the business intelligence technologies, could you give an update on how many people are using that at the moment and what the pipeline is like?
It's just a matter of delivery these days. All of our customers are very interested in that. Those that already launched that, including some of the largest bookies in the UK, are very happy with the results, and they want to, those that have more than one brand, would like to roll it out to the other and include the other brands as well. I would say that amongst the 15 top licensees, around half of those already launched the BIT tools, with the others scheduled to be launched in the coming quarters.
Thanks, Mark.
We will now take our next question from Tal Grant of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Congratulations on the strong first quarter. Just wanted to ask you, because I think Ladbrokes was launched at the end of April last year, wasn't it? So just trying to get an idea of how sustainable the 25% growth rate is that you've seen so far this quarter. So could you give us a number, ex Ladbrokes maybe? For the first month. Secondly, just wondering if you could give us any KPIs or actual financial data for TradeFX in the quarter to date. So either revenue growth, customers added, ARPU, average user acquisition cost, something like that would be quite helpful. And finally, just wondering on the, I think in that article or sort of in the press release you issued last week, you talked about doing some bolt-on deals in sports. So just trying to understand what you might buy here. Is it technology you're after, or could you buy a legacy supplier for its customers, for example? Thanks.
Okay. Hi, Tal. Thanks for the compliment. On current trading, I would say the following. First of all, it's a little bit too early to talk about sustainability throughout the year with respect to 2015, I think, or just at the beginning. It's a fair comment to say that Ladbrokes was a very significant contributor, which has migrated basically at the beginning of May, we started to see the revenues. Therefore, I completely agree with that concept. But with that being said, we are highly confident about the consensus. We feel very confident about consensus, which already embeds significant growth. Not only the numbers are picking up from this specific customer, but also from other customers and other initiatives, including BIT, including Gazzetto dello Sport, including Caliente, including many, many other customers which are continuing to drive growth, and pretty much all new business that we've introduced. So it's not just condensed about this customer specifically. I can't right now strip out specifically Ladbrokes because of commercial sensitivities. I think that's fairly understandable. But we do believe that the consensus for this year is something that is achievable, and we will achieve it. But I think it's too early in the year. On trade effects, we can't give specific numbers right now. It's still not consolidated. But I will say the following. First of all, the KPIs are continuing strongly, as I've indicated at the beginning of the conversation. It's basically continuing the same trends that we've seen in the first quarter, meaning the first quarter already had 11,500 or so new FTDs. The trend continues to grow from that. Obviously, now we're talking about less days, so we're talking about on a daily average, on a trading daily average, the numbers continue to pick up with the number of FTDs. ARPU hasn't changed much. I mean, we're only talking about another 25 days or so since the quarterly results. So the ARPU altogether remains pretty much steady at the same level. I will say that April in its entirety has less trading days because of Easter. So by definition, the revenues for this period are fairly slower, which is seasonality, and traditionally it's a quieter period. But definitely the indicators and all the KPIs are very positive, and we are highly confident about the projections going forward.
As for sports and our recent references to sports, as I indicated earlier this morning, sports is the fastest growing vertical for Playtech. It was a non-existent vertical for us a couple of years ago. Then we established ourselves through Mobenga and then Genetti. And now, obviously, following the execution of our strategy, it is the fastest growing element of our business. Remember that sports is the entry into it, the gateway into gambling altogether. So most people will come through, or most customers will come through sports betting and then convert to gaming activities, will be converted to gaming activities, which led us to believe that the future lies with omni-channel. Specifically on sports acquisitions, there are three areas or so that we are very much focused on. Obviously, the first and foremost, technology. Obviously technologies that will support our omni-channel approach, combining retail, online web, and mobile. So definitely we see some opportunities there. We also see, obviously, there may be an added value, and we are very much interested in gaining access into certain customers that some of these companies have. So I wouldn't rule that out without hinting or without implying to a specific, or without making any comment on any specific acquisition. And another aspect of it is technologies that are very advanced or very customized and localized for certain markets, because not all markets are identical. If you think about the UK and the horse racing aspect, it's very different than what you find with pan-European operators that in some cases don't even offer that. If you think about certain other jurisdictions, certain local sports activities are the dominant event. So I would say it's a combination, from a technology perspective, it's a combination of various aspects, and we take all of those into consideration. Other elements apart from technology is sports feeds. Feeds and content altogether become very, very important, and we want to complement the technology that we provide with a lot of content that we believe we will be able to offer, all supported by advanced trading algorithms that we believe that we will be able to gain access into by internal development as well as acquisitions.
Okay, thank you. And just another question, actually, on trade effects. Just wondering, because you got the FCA license now, and it sounds like you're planning to use that rather than the SciSec license going forward. Just wondering if there's any ramifications of that operationally, So would you be required to hold more capital, or is there any other way that that would affect the operations of the business?
Yeah, I think the plan is basically to use both, to be honest, depending on the jurisdiction, on the activity, but effectively we believe that we will use both. I don't believe this comes with any real difference operationally, other than some back office areas, nothing too dramatic other than that. From a cash capital requirement perspective, I think it's pretty much in line. As the business will grow, obviously we will need to have more capital adequacy, capital requirements from that perspective, but it is nothing which puts us in any constraints. It's very limited and aligned to the growth of the business altogether.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Richard Stuber of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple of questions, please. The first one is, with your sort of increase in regulated revenues, up 6 percentage points, is there any sort of change, any sort of material change in the customer concentration ratio? So I think at the end of last year, you said the top 5 licenses were 53%. Just wondering if that's changed. And the second question on trade FX, given that you will have the retail CFD option. Have you spoken to your current licensees yet? And is there lots of potential sort of take up of this new product? Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Richard. With respect to the customer concentration, actually, the diversity of the business has improved. So the 53% last year is actually in Q1 52 now. So it's slightly better. Given more customers and more customers basically on regulated revenue. So that's an improved area. And we believe it's sustainable. We believe it will actually continue to drop, but not too significantly at this point, but definitely getting to in the right direction. On the second point, on the trade effects, potential cross-sell opportunities, we just started forming, we basically formed the plan, and we are about to start executing against this plan. So we will be very active in the from this point onwards and until the end of the year. We believe that we will be able to introduce it with more licenses, more companies that are currently our licensees. As we indicated before, we already secured Ladbrokes and Caliente, but we definitely believe that others will be interested in that, especially given the fact that our customers want to further diversify their businesses as well, and therefore we believe that this will create a win-win situation for everyone. It's complementary to their business, mainly the binary options element, complementary to their business, and now they can have a partner that can provide them with everything they need in order to grow, to introduce a new vertical if they don't have it yet, and make it a growth element in their business.
Yeah, thanks. So, and just a quick follow-up. Do you know if your licensees would require an FCA license or equivalent to offer CFDs to customers?
It all comes down to where they will want to operate, which licenses those will be. In the UK, as you know, binary options are currently under the gaming regulations, and therefore you will find financial betting offered to customers today across large bookmakers here in the UK. Elsewhere across Europe and outside of Europe, they may need a FCA license, but obviously as part of a turnkey solution, Playtech will be able to provide them with everything necessary in order to operate binary options, and not just in the UK, but outside of the UK as well.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Ed Birkin of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Mr. Birkin, please ensure that your phone is not on mute.
Hi, morning, guys. Just to get an idea of the performance of the FX on regulated markets, I was wondering if you could spit out what that regulated market growth would be if you did it in constant currency. Secondly, in terms of the UK. Are you able to give some key dates you had last year for new contracts? I know you said you started getting revenue from Ladbrokes in May. Perhaps you can tell us the dates when you started seeing meaningful revenue in some of the live casino that you launched towards the end of last year as well. And then finally, can you just give an update on the performance of Poker Strategy in Q1, please?
Yeah, hi. So let me start with the first one. You're talking about the growth in regulated markets on a constant currency basis. So I would say, basically, I mean, obviously regulated markets grew significantly. We're talking about a 47% growth of the regulated markets altogether. I believe on a constant currency basis it would be, I mean, I didn't do the math to be honest. I think I can come back to you specifically on that. But I think it would be somewhere along the lines of 20 plus, even potentially close to 30% growth, but I'll need to check that and get back to you. What was the second question, sorry?
In terms of significant dates of revenue coming online in the UK from, not only say new licensees, but new revenue streams, so live casinos and things like that with your existing licensees.
Yeah, so as we indicated, most of those that we announced are launched. Other projects are underway, will be announced in due course. We believe that some of these announcements will be made in the next two, three quarters, so this year definitely. And given the fact that the projects are underway, there will be in the second half some contribution from from new licensees, both in the UK and elsewhere. We are not in a position to quantify those currently, and definitely can't name them, but as soon as we name those, we will indicate when they are about to launch. As I indicated earlier, I would say that the launches will be soon after it will be announced.
Okay, yeah, in terms of what's already been announced, so we've had, in terms of comps for the year, obviously Ladbrokes you started getting in May. When is it Q4 when you started getting a lot of the incremental live casino with the likes of Skybet?
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. Most of the other initiatives other than Ladbrokes were launched towards the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and in terms of your question on Poker Strategy, it's basically in line with last year. It's slightly below. We're talking about less than a million difference, obviously affected by the decline in the poker market. So that's basically where it is at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Vaughan Lewis of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Oh, just a couple of quick follow-ups, please. When you talk about revenues for the year starting with a 6, I presume that includes TradeFX only from completion, so sort of 6 or 7 months of that, and it's not a pro forma figure. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then looking at the quarter, the first 8 weeks were up 22% and the quarter's up over 30%, so March was up 40-odd%. What exactly happened in March to drive that big step change in growth?
Yeah, there were a few factors that happened. One is the currency effect. I mean, March had even, the euro even weakened further, so that had a stronger effect altogether. And the business continued to grow. March was a very strong month. It usually is. It's right before Easter, so it usually is a very strong period altogether. But specifically, March was very strong. That's basically it.
Are there some of the services revenues or something that are booked at the end of the quarter? Or is it just operating trends accelerated that much?
No, there's nothing, there's no specific one-offs which are doing that or any timing element. It's mostly actual growth Caliente continues to grow, and obviously March was much better than January because it was pretty much started at the end of 14. But this is just the nature of the growth.
Great, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Richard Carter of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one follow-up question. On the UK cost 25%, that's excluding TradeFX, isn't it?
sorry, again?
Forex cost in the UK. Yes, the answer is the 22% indicated earlier, of course, is only Playtech at this point.
22%.
Most of the costs of trade FX are not linked to the sterling. It's mainly euros and jurisdictions where it's dollar linked.
Okay. And then on the land based, is it possible just to give us a flavour in terms of what the machine growth rate is there, please, underlying?
Yeah, it's not as significant. It continues to grow. We're talking about a few hundred machines, so nothing too dramatic. The growth that you see in the land-based line item is a combination of acquisitions, not just Aristocrat Lotteries. We also had Cyclone, which is a content company providing games for the retail activity, which also enjoyed some growth and an acquisition altogether, which wasn't there in the previous quarter in Q1 14. And some other acquisitions, smaller types of acquisition in the area of sports retail and other acquisitions. This is driving most of the growth, and IGS as well, the IGS management system, which had a significant customer in the first quarter of 2015, generating an additional $1.5 million just from that line item. So this was basically the balance between all the factors altogether.
So is the 8.3 a reasonable run rate to be assuming in this division going forward?
Other than the one-off, $1.5 million one-off of IGS, which may be dependent on specific sales activity of IGS, which is positive, don't get me wrong, but it's specifically timing aspect, I think it is.
Okay, great. And you said that Poker Strategy was about $1 million lower than year-on-year in terms of revenue?
Less than $1 million.
Less than $1 million. All right, thank you.
We will now take a question from Alistair Ross of Investec. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just a quick one from me. If I split out your absolute growth, so the actual increase, the 33.6 million increase from Q1 14 to Q1 15, and I just split that out, I get Asia 16.8, which is 50% of the growth. I get white label, which is 5 million, which you mentioned on the call earlier. Then I get acquisitions of approximately 2 million. Currency impact, I think, is about 14 million. Can you give me a flavor for the rest of it? So there's a decrease. Can you just give me a flavor for the decrease?
I would say the following. I don't think there is an overall decrease, actually. If we look at constant currency of 16%, or actually 19%, but after POC tax, so we're talking about 16%, this is already excluding acquisitions, so you can take that, strip that out, and excluding currency effects, and excluding the POC tax. So basically, the only other element that you have stripped out is the growth in Asia versus the other parts of the world, and regulated definitely grew faster than that. So the only negative area of the business, other than the very small effect of poker, was the .com in Europe, which continues to decrease, and as the transition to regulated becomes more significant. Other than that, I think there's nothing. We don't see any negative influences altogether.
Actually, Alistair, we don't see that as a negative. We don't see that as a negative trend. We see that as a natural step for the industry. What happens in Europe is that on one hand you see a decline in activity in certain unregulated markets, people shifting budgets from unregulated to regulated markets. Regulated markets accordingly grow fast, and they grow faster than other unregulated part of the business, regardless of where it is, Europe, Asia, or elsewhere. So in other words, Asia grew, regulated market grew very fast, some markets in Europe declined as part of the transition. Overall together, regulated grew faster, and hence the increase in the business.
So can you just quantify the decrease due to pulling out of unregulated markets?
It's not pulling out of unregulated markets, actually.
Or shifting marketing spend.
In marketing spend, you mean by operators? So you're asking us the question of how the operators react to that. So it's not us exiting certain markets. It's simply a natural decrease
of a natural decrease of the activity in .com throughout Europe as more markets are transitioning into .com. Netherlands would be a good example for that, as customers understand that this will become a regulated business. There is not a lot of ROI coming from investing now into marketing into these markets, etc., etc. So, and the list goes on.
And you, can you quantify that though, that effect that you talk about?
I think Europe.com activity goes down approximately 10% on a nominal basis.
Okay.
But obviously we can take that offline if you wish to talk further.
Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Moore and Ron have to go to a meeting. Can we take any last questions before closing off?
There is one final question in the queue from Ed Birkin of Credit Suisse.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, just final one. Just clarify that the 16% constant currency growth ex acquisitions, the white label obviously don't count as acquisitions, and is the white label revenue 100% regulated?
Yes, the white label is 100% regulated. It doesn't account as an acquisition. It accounts for just the regular growth of the business.
Great, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no final further questions in the queue.
Thank you very much for your participants, and have a great day.
Thank you all. Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.